Hello, today is Monday, July the 18th of the year 2022. This is the 199th day of the year. Can you believe the year is already half gone and adding more days behind us, right? There remains 166 days, still time to do some of those things that we wanted to do before it gets cold again. It's on its way. We will be singing Noel's here pretty soon, right? Absolutely. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the show is called A Voice of a People, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhones, laptops, or computers, or whatever new gadgets are out there where you can download apps. Again, the name TuneIn. Once you download it, please search WWGH. Or you can call in during a live broadcast if you would like to ask any questions, make any comments to my guest or myself. Please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday between the months of April through December, every third Saturday, free produce. The next one will take place August the 20th and begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. So if you can take advantage of this or in need of free produce, please take advantage of this notice. If you know someone else, please share that information. We also have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location is LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. I have a thought for today, which I like to open up my show with a thought for today to put your minds in motion. Learn to create silence. And I know some of you have heard that saying, silence is golden. And it's like, what is so golden about being silent? I guess that could be a good thing or a bad thing, right? It could be disastrous, or it could be responding loudly against some other things. So let me pull this up. I've been doing so much research, I kind of lost it. All right, here we go. I love Google. All right, here. Learn to create silence. Silence in your mind and peace will flourish in your soul. You will see life with other eyes. You will discover language of the supreme. To be internally silent, do not think too much. Trust yourself. Trust others. Trust life. You will find it easier than it seems. Okay. Don't forget, words are important, but sometimes it is better to say nothing. It allows you a chance to channel your energies and give you clarity. We need to calmly face challenges and uncertainty. Okay, put that in your hat. Now, let me turn my attention to my guest today. I'm excited. I have my pastor here with me, Pastor Rowan Anderson. How are you doing today?
I am great. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. It's always a joy.
Absolutely. He's a pastor of Foursquare Gospel, The Gathering Place.
TGP for short.
Amen, amen, amen. A dynamic preacher, too, and speaker. Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We never have a dull moment.
I appreciate that. I really enjoy what I do, and thank God every day I get the opportunity to do it.
Right. Yeah. Now, you've had a lot of changes in your life. You have a new grandson, not
only
that.
Yes, Baby Zaid. Shout out to Baby Zaid. He's changed my life.
And I know.
He's changing my world.
I bet he is. He's so sweet.
He really is. And Mom's doing a great job. Dad is awesome.
So, great.
I can't complain.
That's great.
God is good. He continues to be good. And so, a lot of transition. And then our youngest is preparing herself for college.
Wow. And we're Can't believe
to,
it.
Yeah, we are starting to experience another aspect of God and just how he's faithful. And,
right.
I want to give him all the glory.
Amen. I can't believe her and Jeremiah. Oh, my God. I remember when I start going up to Bucyrus, they were like little kids,
They were.
Wow. Yeah. Here they are out of school.
It makes you see life, and I think the first thing it makes me realize I'm getting older.
Yes.
that's the first thing. But at the same time as well, I get excited to see how their life is developing and maturing and their contribution. And I think a lot of it's just reflection.
Yes.
I'm in that place of reflecting, both Megan and myself. And so, there is, I think the best way to describe it is just transition. And,
yes.
And just trusting God.
Right. Yeah. And, there's something else I had to learn. It wasn't really taking anything from me, but it was really adding something to my life and their life,
Yeah, absolutely.
Because sometimes people take that empty nest to another level, It's not always positive,
Right.
So, but God is adding.
Absolutely.
Yes, He's adding to your life.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, I love Megan. We're going on our 29th year of marriage in October. And we're super excited about our time together.
Great.
To really reflect. And we still got a vision for our lives. We still have what we want to accomplish.
Wow.
We were just talking about it, a couple of days ago. So the emptiness for us is exciting because, and I tell people this all the time, I said, we're eagles, and we raise eagles. And
yes.
So I love that example of an eagle. There are times when they're growing big and the nest that you build has spikes, that as they get big, they realize I gotta spread my wings and soar. And so we see this really as an opportunity for our children to just spread their wings and trust the wind of God's grace to take them where God has them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So it works out. We get more room.
You sure do. To
expand and to influence them, not from a distance, but to influence them from a different perspective,
yes.
a different height.
Oh, yeah.
And
adulthood.
Yeah. And watching Danny and Blaine, parent, is exciting because you look back and not that you're thinking, now you're starting to see what we went through, but truly you are seeing God's grace and God's hands at work, and I'm so proud of them for how they're doing it. And they're doing it their way.
Right,
And so we come in more with love and hugs and wisdom. And,
yes.
And we're there.
Amen.
So we're definitely looking forward to it. And that's not everybody's, story or whatever. But for us, it is not a depletion.
No.
To your words, it's an addition.
Right, absolutely, addition. And you're looking at the fruit of your labor.
Yes,
18 years with Danny, 18 years with Lizzie, and it's like, look what God has helped us to accomplish in our children.
And being a person of faith, believing in Jesus, doesn't remove the storms, right?
No.
It gives us, again, back to the eagle analogy, that continually throughout the scripture, the Bible speaks about, an eagle's wings and mount up like wings of an eagle. I just love the metaphor, that is used. But for us, it's really about how our faith causes us to spread our wings and to really trust God.
Yes.
And that has been both triumphant and it's also been challenging, right? And
it is challenging.
For that. So the sweet part about being a person of faith is really we surrender to the wind of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
You got to surrender to
it. Yes.
And there are days that you are having to to fight against it because you have to remind yourself you're an eagle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, stop trying to fly for your wings. I'm like, I got to figure this thing out.
Right, right.
And you have to see it from a different vantage point. And that requires the difficult task, but also the delight of trusting God to say, you're a person of faith, Ro. Just spread your wings.
Spread your wings.
And let the wind of my grace and yes. His goodness elevates us above the storm.
That makes me think of, it was around Christmas time, and I was measuring my TV center
okay.
to see what size TV I could get in yeah. there. You know, my daughter said, stop trying to have your own Christmas. I'm like, I can't have my own Christmas,
that's
you know.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't know how to take that, you know, right. but they had a TV for me. So I'm like, okay, then, well, hey, because I was going to get one myself.
Oh, come on. I was expanding, you know. You
right.
always got to you know, the just lives by faith,
mm-hmm.
right? And so even that example of measuring, it's vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, making room, and that's where it starts from. And so, yeah, I just think it's important for all of us to constantly be dreaming.
Yes.
One of the reasons why I love to shop is not just because I enjoy, you know, window shopping, just seeing the clothing, is that I go to dream.
Right.
You know, I just go to dream, you know, and part of it is to navigate a daydream that's just pie in the sky versus a nightmare, right? You
yes.
know, that you want to wake up from.
Right.
And so the middle road is that just to live by faith. And so in every transition, I'm learning and God's teaching me. And so I tell people, really, faith in Jesus is an opportunity to see God at work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I don't want to hinder that at all.
Oh, no.
I don't want to put a barrier to that, right?
Right.
Because I think part of that is I want the full potential of Rowan has been placed on this earth to deposit.
Right.
I want all of that. And that's been the conversation between Megan and myself, constantly
right.
asking God, am I living up to my potential, given all that's going on in the world, and, you know, and in the lane that God has placed me
right.
in, which is the lane of the church, I want to do the best I can. And so, again, back to that, you know, statement or back to the example of spread your wings,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'll say to your audience, just spread your wings.
Right.
And let the wind of God's grace and God's goodness
wow.
elevate you. Outside of that, you're going to struggle. And you're going to be flapping, you know, thinking,
mm-hmm.
like, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? You're an eagle.
Right, right.
And that's the only way you're going to be able to see the storm, but from a
okay.
different advantage. Because you can't control the storm.
No, you can't.
You can't control
can.
The storm.
No, you can't. Or how high you go, or how low you go, you know. And the dependence on God is key.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And it keeps us
yeah.
from, what they say, striving against the wind,
correct.
You know. It
right.
keeps us from doing that. Like,
yeah.
you know what? God's got it. I'm just going
right.
to go on and, you know, let
absolutely.
Him lead and guide me and show me his way.
And that's not easy.
No.
It's not easy with all the distractions.
No, it's not
that are
easy.
Before us, all the dream killers that are
right.
before us.
Right.
All the giants before. Giants of a generation,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we have to face as well.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of challenges, but there is so there is so much conviction in the heart of an individual who realizes that God placed me here for a purpose,
mm-hmm.
right? And,
mm-hmm.
and so without that, without having again that purpose of understanding, well, you're an eagle, and understanding that there is. There's a vision that you carry. You know, I mean, there's a responsibility that you have.
Right. Yeah, it is. Because you're always checking, Lord, did I overstep your bounds? Did I really?
Yes.
Am I still where I'm supposed to
right.
be? You
yeah.
know. Well, let me know if I did, you know, if I did, I repent,
yeah.
right?
That's right, yeah.
Help me bring that back, right? I don't know.
You know, you said something earlier, and this is before we went on air, just constantly learning,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I've been walking with the Lord since 88. And in this season, he's still teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
He's still teaching me that transformation is his desire. To be transformed, as we say biblically, into the image of of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And walking into our purpose as sons and daughters of God. And he's constantly teaching.
Yes.
And it requires such a humility to realize, I haven't arrived as yet, God. He's like, no, you don't arrive until I call you home, right?
I know.
You know what I mean? Until
I know.
You hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Right, right.
So that again brings in the need for what are the convictions that you will not veer away from, right? What are those convictions about God?
Right.
Not necessarily about people, about the world.
Right, about him.
But what is your conviction about who do you see God to be?
Right.
And I think that's such a great starting place that
it
you
is.
Can start today. You don't have to wait for a certain age. You can even tell your children that from now, because eventually they're all going to have to
depend on him.
Yeah, and stand before him and
yes,
give an account,
and
right?
That right, and give an account.
You know,
for their deeds. Yes,
absolutely. And so that doesn't scare me. That humbles me. It gets me in a place of realizing that. How that's such a humbling thought that the God of the universe made himself personally known to us and invites us into his plan of redemption. That's a very humbling thing to embrace.
Yes,
and so
it
therefore
is.
I have to constantly remind myself of these are the convictions I know about God.
Right.
And live those out in a challenging environment.
And humbleness.
Yes. Absolutely.
Humility.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, I thought at one time honor preceded humility until, again, God corrected me. He says, no, read the scripture. And he says, humility comes before honor. And so there's a lot of situations I found myself in where I thought I was honoring the person, but God was saying, no, you're not being an eagle. Because when you have humility, you know who you are and who God is.
Right.
Then you can honor because that person can't change who you are.
Wow.
And
that's
that
powerful.
Was my thing. So then I wasn't the third thing. I wasn't honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are things that God is teaching me. No, humility first comes. To my point, humility comes from a place of who God is. And the honor follows after that. So
right.
I know who God is. And what an honor to work with him.
Right.
And then I can be honest with people of where I am in this journey.
So the humbling is bowing down.
Absolutely. To his authority.
To his authority.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's not bowing down to a sense of less than. It's bowing down to
his authority.
Who he is. His
who
authority.
He is. Yes.
And we have to be people under authority because God wants to give us authority.
Yes. Yes. Now, isn't the title or the explanation of Moses, wasn't he one of the most humblest men?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just think about what he entrusted Moses with.
Correct.
And I'm watching a series called Moses and the Ten Commandments on Living Faith Network. And every way he turns, he stops and asks God, well, I did this. I went to Pharaoh and I told him this. And Pharaoh didn't pay me any attention. So what now, God? And he was just like in his face like that all the time, you know. And he said, well, Moses, I'm here for you. Don't be afraid, you know. And you would never think that Moses was afraid.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting where Moses' fear was sourced from, right? And it was from trying to lead these people to let them know who they were.
What, half a million people? Or?
Right. But letting them know who they were.
Right.
Because his challenge wasn't Pharaoh. His challenge was the people.
Right.
When they would come and see what happened with his attempt to try to get them freedom.
Right, right.
See, when
right.
you when you want freedom, you got to understand your place of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so Moses is trying to recognize his brokenness at the same time recognize the brokenness of a people. So it caused him to be like, God, I need you.
Yes.
You know, I can't do this without you. And so you see in his life as it progresses the constant need for God direct
assurance.
Absolutely. Trying to lead 5 million people. We look back now. That's a massive undertaking.
Just like trying to lead five.
Oh, absolutely. Man, trying to lead your own children.
Yes.
Trying to lead your own life, let alone 5 million people.
Yeah.
So a great example of who the Bible calls one of the most humble or meek,
meek
person.
Okay,
You know, is who they reference Moses to be. And Moses is a big deal in the Jewish culture and, and heritage, right?
Right.
And so we can learn a lot from that about leadership and again, how to navigate
right
situations that you find yourself in.
Yeah, he's one of those pillars in the Bible, you know.
He is.
Yes.
He really is.
Yes.
You know? Wow. Hence people name their children after him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be drawn from the water. You know, but again, to recognize the call, and I believe that invitation is for everybody, is when you have your burning bush moment, back to the point, the conviction that he realized, why is the bush not burning? Like, this is a phenomenon. It's not that it's on fire. It's
right.
Why it's not being consumed by the fire.
Right.
And so I can take that from an application perspective without violating the text to say I believe everyone needs a burning passion inside of them, something that burns them but doesn't burn them out, right?
Right.
Doesn't burn them up.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
It comes burning,
you know, preach,
okay?
Voice of the people, yeah. You know. And so my question to everybody really today listening is, what is your burning passion? What is the conviction that you have that will cause you to look, to listen, and to lead, right? What is that thing that will cause you to do those three things? Because we need that, given where things are, and we need to be able to look, to listen, and to lead. And that first begins with humility.
Hmm. I tell you, I just have great expectations of every moment of my life. I'm excited.
Yeah.
About life. I'm excited about living. I'm excited about the next thing God is going to do in my life,
right.
You know. And I tell him, I live with great expectations, okay?
Right. Yes. And we're supposed to live that way.
Right. We should anyway, right?
As a follower of Jesus Christ. I think it's good for everybody, but especially a follower of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That we ought to be excited every single day.
True.
Every day.
Every day.
It's not an issue of personality. We all have different personalities. It's not an issue of profession. It is that conviction, back to what I said again, knowing that God is at work and God has a purpose for our life.
Yes,
and he invites us into that. I mean, think about that, right? It's like a child getting up and wanting to go fishing, or perhaps go, you know, do something with his dad, or, or a daughter, you know, want to do something with their mom. That there's the excitement the night before, you know. And so I live that way,
right,
Minister Linda, because every morning I wake up, and it's not that some mornings I don't get up and my body's like, oh my gosh, didn't drink enough water, or you know, you know, what a night on my neck, you know. I'm human. But I'd rather look to God and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That there's an excitement.
Yes.
I can imagine as a pastor, I'm only excited on Sunday. It'll be on people's faces, right?
Right.
You know,
it'll be a dull life now.
Absolutely. And one of the things I get, like, you got so much energy. I'm like, energy, yes. Excitement, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there might come a time when my energy is being challenged, right? Might be hungry, didn't drink my coffee, whatever, you know, those natural things. But excitement, I think, is something deep in the soul.
Yes.
That, to your point, is really being, the Holy Spirit is igniting that fire all the time.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God for that. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I call you in, Pastor Rowan, I want to know what God is saying to the church today. So much going on in the world.
There is so much. Number one, God is telling the church he's still in control.
Amen.
He's still in control. That has to sink in.
Yes.
If we veer from that, we go off target. And it's quite easy to do that. So number one, God's in control. I think number two, that God is still speaking. He's still speaking. We were talking earlier again, is it better he's speaking or silent?
Right.
I think it's better that he's speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, God is still speaking. And I think number three, there's a work for us to do. I believe that's where we are, is that he wants us to recognize there is a work for us to do. That we're not here, or in the words of Esther, I love what was said, you know, for such a time as this, you come to the kingdom.
Right.
And that's the key word. So I believe that God wants clarity and explanation of what his kingdom really is, because that is what's going to unify his people to then unify a broken world.
Right.
So those three things, I think we can expand on those things. Number one, God's in control. He's sovereign is what I mean by that.
Amen.
It doesn't take away your ability to rationally think, right? We're not robots. Mm-hmm. God creates us sons and daughters.
Right.
Number two, God is speaking. He's a God that wants to communicate. And then number three, it's there's a work we have to do. And so we can begin in any one of those mm-hmm. to really, I believe, address the daunting issues that are before us. And perhaps might be for some people the dark times that we're facing.
Right? True.
You know, and so again, that's where I would begin with anybody. Which one do you want to address first? You know what I mean?
Right.
Just by God's in control, we can do that. Or God's
the sovereignty
speaking, yes.
of God.
Right.
Yeah, sovereignty of God. I want to say hi, Pastor Magon.
Hey,
I didn't mean to not say your name. God bless you and love you. Pastor Rowan's beautiful wife.
That she is, yeah.
Yes, she is.
She's
Anderson.
Amazing.
Such a sweet spirit.
Really is.
Yes, she is. So, hi.
I believe she's listening, so she might be doing one of those waves.
And whoever else is listening from TGP.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
absolutely. Right. Okay, we're talking about God's sovereignty, knowing that He is in control.
Yes.
Some people say, well, I don't really know how to accept that. I mean, He controls this whole universe.
He does.
Everything in it.
Sure.
It all belongs to Him.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, He's already set boundaries.
Right.
How far the water's going to go,
correct.
You know, and the sun is going to do its thing up
right.
and down, and the moon and the stars are going to twinkle. And sometimes I don't understand where people come with that mindset that He's not in control.
Right.
Maybe they think, well, we do have free will. That's where the thing comes in. Well, if we have free will, how is God in control?
Right.
Can you speak to that, Pastor?
Yeah. So I think one of the greatest examples that I've gotten with that I've lived in, I have to live in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tension. So
mm-hmm.
I'll admit, the three things I mentioned, there's
right.
a tension that involves. So it's
right.
not like an easy thing. It's a hard place to be.
Yes.
But I think the first thing is if you've ever been on a cruise and you're on a boat, and you're on the water, right?
Mm.
You got free will to roam wherever you want to within the ship, right? Because if you go over that bound, you could land in the water and drown, right? So when we talk about free will, we assume free will means that we can do whatever we want to do, and that's not free will. Free will is you're within the bounds of what God has established. One of the great movies I like is Lion King. And I watched it. I remember my nephew, he's probably 25, maybe even older now. We went to watch Lion King, and the time when Mufasa died and he cried. I was like, oh my gosh, kids understand that. Simba comes to him and says, hey mm-hmm. dad, like you know, the king of the jungle, do we own all this? And he says, wherever the light touches,
mm-hmm.
we can roam there. Wherever the light touches, that's where your domain is. And so Scar knew I have to get him outside of the boundaries.
Right.
And so Scar got him to the elephant's graveyard. And so now Simba is with them. And real quick, he tells the hyenas, hey, I am the king of the jungle. Like, I have rule and reign everywhere. And the pelican, I forgot what his name was, said to him, says, we're in their territory.
Mm-hmm.
We're in their territory. And so what happens a lot of times is we assume with free will that that means that we have all authority. And no, clearly it says Jesus, I have all authority. So how I land with the sovereignty of God is realizing that I want to stay within the boundaries that God has established for me. And the only person that wants to be outside of those boundaries is someone that wants to destroy my life.
Right.
That's either pride, Satan, you know what I mean? You know, some destructive things
right.
wants me to go there. So at the end of the day, we got to trust God that He's sovereign, and I'm not.
Right. I'm glad you answered that because people struggle with that.
They do.
You know?
I struggled with it
for years. Yeah.
Until I realized the only freedom is going to find. My free will is in the freedom knowing that God is sovereign.
Right.
It has to start there. He chose us. It wasn't like, hey, God, we want to be created. Okay, good idea.
right.
That's not how it works.
No.
I don't care who you are.
Right.
I don't care if you're saved or unsaved. He's still God.
That's right.
You know, He doesn't become God because you acknowledge Him. He's God.
Right.
And we have to land there at first. Or world would just be in a total chaos. I mean, you got to look at even just nature. How if we were so much closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were a little bit further, we would melt, you know, freeze.
Right.
And so you're seeing that. And Romans talks about that the nature declares the glory of God. No, he's sovereign.
Yes.
He's sovereign.
Yes.
But that does not take away my ability to free will. He wants me to trust that part of God.
Right, right.
Trust that he's sovereign.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a trust issue.
Trust.
Yeah.
That he has it all planned out.
No, absolutely, right? I mean, who wants to give relinquish control? I mean, look how people abuse control, right? You get in some relationship and the man's controlling or the woman's controlling, which happens, by the way. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, it does happen.
Right? And so people are like, I don't want to be controlled. I'll do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen the danger of it. So, no, God's sovereignty, I struggled with it at first until I realized there was so much freedom in that.
Mm-hmm.
It took pressure off.
It does.
Right?
It
how
really
could you,
does.
Well, how could people say I'm saved by grace and not by works and look back and say, well, God's not sovereign?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Or
right?
That he's
nothing
not in
I
control.
Did.
Right. Right.
He did it. So
right.
He did that. So
did
I rest in that. Yeah. I can't see the world outside of God's sovereign hand. I recommend no one to do that. I think you've got to get to that place and wrestle with that, that God is sovereign.
Wow.
Yeah.
So true. Still on the throne.
He still is. He still is.
And no one can dethrone him.
Because there's no one even close to him.
Oh, my God.
Right. There's no one even close to him.
Mm-mm-mm. The devil thought.
Right.
He had a chance.
You know, and of course, you know, you being, you know, at church and with us for a long time, you know I always land back in the first three chapters of Genesis.
Yes.
I am committed as with a sense of humility and honor to pastor, I believe the greatest, definitely the best looking church in the world, but, you know, the great people. And I say that with such tremendous humility. But I'm my assignment, and you ask him, he's taking us to live in the first three chapters where the sovereignty of God made sense.
Right.
It's only struggle because of Genesis chapter 3 onwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what we struggle with. It's
right.
This free will and man exercising that. No,
which God is all in trouble.
God is in control. Yep, he is sovereign.
Wow, Adam and Eve got us all in trouble.
God, every one of us in trouble, right?
You know? Right.
They are our parents, but God is still our father.
Yes, he is. Wow.
And that's what I land in, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve are our parents, but God is our father.
Like
that's
you
never
said,
changed.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off of us, thinking that we have to make these things happen.
Right.
On our own.
Absolutely.
You know, and that can put you into depression.
Come on now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing in a medical aspect, and even just from a sociological, just from society,
mm-hmm.
the result of a root problem,
mm-hmm.
right? See, medical is looking at this is the result, and they're trying to get to what's the root of it,
mm-hmm.
and we're seeing how depression and all those things happen because we're trying to fix our lives,
right?
And we just can't do it.
No, we cannot.
We cannot. We didn't even author life, let alone fixed life, right?
Right, right.
God is the one that authors life. And so you can't go past that.
Wow.
I'm not saying people don't. I'm just simply saying it's going to be a very bumpy ride,
mm-hmm.
very difficult ride if you do not wrestle with that truth.
Right.
I have to trust God that he's sovereign.
And you know that you're saying that, I think that's one of the biggest struggle in the house of God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love God. I'm here. I'm in this ministry, or I'm in the choir, or
right.
I'm leading this Bible study, but not surrendered.
Correct. Yeah.
To God's will.
Right.
And you know, and like you said, it's like fighting against the wind, mm-hmm. and not really making your way to the position you should be in Christ. And like you said, it's not easy.
Oh. No.
It's not easy. No. It's a struggle because the enemy is always there trying to give us ideas of what we can do, where
right.
we can go, how we can get there. Well, take this shortcut.
Correct. And sometimes I'm the worst enemy, right?
Right,
sometimes life experiences that challenge God's sovereignty gets in the
yes,
way.
Yes.
The evil that exists.
Right.
You know, those are the why questions. You
right.
know, like child asking, God, why'd you take grandpa?
Right.
These are legitimate questions that can darken one's soul.
I know.
That can bring doubt to one's soul.
Right.
That,
right.
God forbid, can cause death to one's soul. And so part of the challenge for the church is that we try to explain the third point I made up, that there's a work for us to do.
Right, work to do.
Because that's the most obvious one in front of us,
mm-hmm.
that we don't actually start with God's sovereignty, which goes back to the salvation of us. God's redemptive plan is what makes me understand His sovereignty, so I can do the work He's called me to partner with Him in redemption.
Right.
That's never changed. And so our biggest challenge is number three, because
work
that's what's
do.
In front of us, is what are we to do?
Right.
And so when we veer off of that, we expose the reality that we don't believe God is speaking, because we're not speaking what He's speaking.
Right.
We move away from God's sovereignty because we didn't want to do what we want to do. That I've found, Minister Linda, is to be the biggest challenge of pastoring. It's not necessarily get people what to do.
Right.
It's to get people to know that God is sovereign.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Control.
Absolutely.
And it's His kingdom.
Now, that plays a big part in discipleship, which you are teaching this month.
Yes, phenomenal class.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I had to miss last week, but Lord bless,
man.
No more,
yeah.
No more.
Yeah, no, you're going to, Wednesday's going to be awesome.
Yes, I'm looking
really
forward to it.
Really deep dive into that. And the way God's supposed to be exposed. So really, looking at discipleship is the work we're supposed to do as disciples of Christ, but we come back to a place of recognizing that God is sovereign. And I really want to emphasize that, because God's sovereignty brings success.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If we really want to define success, it's really God's sovereignty.
Mm.
John Piper wrote a massive book about that. It's called Providence. And so people can judge
the
and determine, you know, what
God.
They look at. But the word is providence, right? Is God's ability to do what He wants to do with nobody's permission. I bring it up because the book was thick.
Mm-hmm,
so when I mentioned the sovereignty of God, I'm not talking about some small, thin thing. I'm talking about the yellow pages. You know
Whoa.
What I'm saying?
Yellow page Columbus book. Yellow pages,
that's
right?
That's right. Yes. That you would sit on to see over the steering wheel.
Whoa.
And so as we are navigating life, if we're driving, we've got to be sitting on the sovereignty of God to look over the dashboard and see what's before us.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that the biggest window in the car is the front.
Right.
Right. And the small rear view. So He wants us to look ahead more than we do in our rear view mirror. And so to continue with this, it's that phone book that's outdated.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because everything's in, you know, Google now. But the sovereignty of God requires that. It's a massive, massive undertaking.
Mm. He's told me to get out of my rear view mirror.
Come on now. Right? You feel me? That's
issue.
Church, stop looking at the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Look ahead.
Yes.
With these three things in mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
God
talks.
Which then goes back to, because He's sovereign, He speaks.
Yes, He speaks.
Right? He speaks. And so I think part of it is, do we want to hear what He has to say? Because when He speaks, change comes, right?
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I mean?
It does.
Right?
Yes.
He's getting back to that. So here's all three of it in place. If we can look at this example, people are asking, well, show me the Bible where the three things you talked about, Ro, is there. Well, Jesus tells them, let's get to the other side. Tells His disciples, get in the boat, let's get to the other side.
Right.
Right? He's sovereign. He knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He knew a storm was going to come, right? He knows all that stuff.
Yes.
They did it because they, in their human, realized, oh, it's clear. We're fishermen. He gets there. All of a sudden, in the middle of it, a storm comes. And they're doing what? They're doing the work. Oh, my gosh,
right.
I'm in control. I got to control this thing. I'm going to do everything. Jesus is sleeping.
Yes, He was.
He's sleeping because He knows God is sovereign.
Right.
And number two, God is speaking.
Yes.
He told me, get to the other side.
Right, He did.
And so He gets there. They finally wake Him up. What does He do? He speaks. He speaks.
Yes.
He muzzles, one translation says, the storm. Puts a muzzle on it.
Mm. Be still.
And then they get to the other side and do the work of realizing there was someone on the other side that needed the freedom. And so the work of the church is to bring about a redemptive plan to a person who was living in the tombs as homelessness, a person cutting himself, you know what I mean?
Right,
addiction, a person that no one
torment.
Can talk, torment.
Yeah.
All the ailments that we see, Jesus goes now and brings redemption to that so the disciples can see God is sovereign.
Right.
God speaks, and there's a work for us to do.
Wow.
And that's how He ends it. He tells the guy, hey, can I come with you? He goes, no. Go be a witness. Go do the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go do the work. And I think that's what He's telling us today. And so wherever you are in these three things, I want to let you know that it's worth the energy. Not the effort. It's worth the energy to wrestle with this.
Right.
Because a world of people, the voice of the people are saying, we need freedom. We need freedom.
Yes.
And freedom, oh my goodness, man, to have freedom, to walk in freedom.
And we did not understand that was our freedom, walking in His will.
Absolutely. And that was always it. His will was to eat of any tree you want, any fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes down to, will the church be obedient? Right? Will we be obedient with our free will, the ability to make choice? Will we choose obedience?
Right.
Now, I love it. Jesus learned obedience by what He saw. See, Jesus even learned obedience.
Right.
And, and I think that that's so important that we learn obedience. In this hour, are we being obedient to what God has called us to do?
That scared me.
I think someone wanted to give a shout out.
I was all into this, right? Okay. I'm like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Who's this interrupting? Oh, my. It scared me. But it's, I'm like that. I just get consumed.
Yeah.
You know, in the Word and the sovereignty of God and who He is. And,
right.
You know, and it's all about who He is.
Correct. I mean, you know, my girls, they belong to God. My grandchild belongs to God. Like, the quicker I recognize that, the parenting makes more. The more I recognize that as a parent, the more I understand how to raise my children, how to train them up in the things of the Lord. The more I recognize as a pastor. You know, full transparency, God's really been reminding me that the church belongs to Him.
Yes,
and He's like, I didn't call you to lead my church at the expense of your health or the expense of, you know, your personal. No. Ask you to be obedient to what I've told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm also, Minister Linda, wrestling with that as well. God, You're sovereign. It's Your church.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm
as sure. creative as I want to be.
Right.
As enjoyable I want people's time to be,
mm-hmm.
I have to land on this truth. And I fully admit it requires everyday living, as I shared on Sunday, saying, God, let me not be hypocrite to what You tell me. Let me live out the very thing I'm teaching.
Right.
And that brings a sense of humility.
Oh, yeah.
And I never saw the connection between hypocrisy and the fear of man until God showed it to me. Because I don't trust the sovereignty, right?
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, God, You're in control. Yeah. So what can man do to You then?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. There is a freedom.
Yes.
Now
yes.
I can serve TGP and the global church.
Mm-hmm.
I can now tell them, here's the work, without manipulating them or without even bringing offense.
Mm.
I let the Word do the work. That's how He called me, to let the Word do the work, Ron. Don't mess with it. Don't mess it up. He knows better than anybody else what
people my. Need. Yes. You know? I mean, it has legs of its own, you
I'm
know?
I'm telling you. Let the Word do the work. And I walk away. I encourage people. I don't know how much time we have, but I encourage
1 minute.
People. 1 minute. Here's my encouragement to people in these three areas. Become disciplined in this. This is not just some sort of dialogue. This is a discipline. It requires discipline.
Mm-hmm.
To get a notebook and to constantly be writing up, because God is sovereign.
Right.
You want to be able to capture those moments and write it out. What is God saying? Even if it's one line. Mm-hmm. Every time you gather and the Word is being preached or your devotion or whatever,
mm-hmm.
my encouragement, my plea for people is this. Become disciplined as a disciple who is a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder I have so many pieces of paper around the house.
That's right.
And tablets.
Yes.
And, you know, where did this come from? Where am I going to put it? I can't even imagine how many I filled up in Georgia.
And that's the key.
I almost had a suitcase just full of notebooks and things that He had said to me. And, you know, just prayer and supplications, you know.
It's one of the greatest advice I've given. For young men, one of the greatest advice I've ever given was get a notepad, piece of paper, and be a student of God's Word. The greatest advice I've ever gotten.
Thank you, Pastor Rowe. We are out of time. Hopefully you enjoyed our session today. I know I did. I'm excited. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same station. I may have a surprise for you, because I'll be surprised myself, okay? So, Linda Sims, A Voice of a People, here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Until next time, be blessed. Don't
Amen.
Forget, have fun in the sun.
You're listening to WWG.